So then your grandparents moved to Chickasha, and life begins to be good there?
It began to be good. My grandfather was the bishop in the Church of God in Christ at a time when there was only one bishop, and that was him. He had a car. My father was a friend of the family at that time, and he was a part-time chauffeur for my grandfather. And so my grandfather spent a lot of time on the road. Life was good.
But that was also a segregated county.
Everything in Oklahoma was segregated.
It was Grady County.
Every town, every place in Oklahoma was segregated because of the laws of Oklahoma. There were residential boundaries, and African Americans had to live in certain sections of town, usually across the track. There was segregation everywhere in every facet of life.
Known as the colored part of town, wasn't that true?
And, you know, I can remember in Chickasha going downtown with my grandmother, needing a pair of pants or something, and my grandmother would take the pants and hold them around my waist. So I just thought that's the way you bought clothes. I didn't know that she was doing that because we couldn't try on the clothes. I just thought that's the way you bought clothes.
Yeah.
That was kind of the way of life was. But, you know, on the flip side of it, I had no idea growing up that we lived in such a restricted environment because everything seemed normal to us. You know, living in a segregated African-American community, you didn't see racism every day because you wasn't around it. It wasn't until I moved with my parents to a predominantly white area that I really felt the impact of segregation and discrimination and racism. But growing up, you were insulated in the African-American community, so you really didn't see it or feel it.
Where did you move when you began to feel it?
Spring Lake Drive.
Right here on this street.
That's it, on this street.
Your grandfather was a bishop of the Church of God in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And then, is it true, the whites broke away from that church to form the Assemblies of God, and that was in 1914. Apparently, then, the Assemblies of God grew out of that, and I can only imagine that was the Assemblies of God that we know about nationwide. So then, the firstborn of your grandparents, who was he?
I don't know what his name was, but I just know that the first child, my son, died during birth, I think. Then my uncle, Lemuel, was the second child born to my grandmother. My mom was the third, and then my Aunt Helen was the fourth.
And we can establish that Ada was born February 8th, 1924. Overall, maybe you've already described it, what kind of town was Chickasha?
It was a popular town, one of the more popular towns in southwest Oklahoma. A lot of the military guys from Lawton would frequently come to Chickasha during the weekend. Chickasha had a reputation of being a place to go on the weekends for the guys, particularly out of Lawton. It was a segregated town like they all were. My grandmother and my grandfather lived on the east side of the tracks, which was kind of the divide line. During the later years, they began to live just west of the tracks. But it was a segregated town, so we knew where the ends of the neighborhood were.
Scipio family lived pretty well, I believe.
Absolutely. By the time I came along, you know, they had cars and they had a cellar. There were two houses, 605 South First Street, was where my grandmother lived and where my sister and I lived with my grandmother. Just beside it was another house, which she also owned too. These things just seemed so normal to us, I didn't make it was a big deal. And between the two houses was a cellar, a storm cellar. We were one of the very few families that actually had a storm cellar. And again, you know, two houses. Who ever heard of that? Growing up, it just seemed normal to us, but as it turned out, they were very well situated.
Few had telephones, but the Sipuels did have a telephone.
Absolutely.
I guess the neighbors would probably come over to use that phone.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They had a radio?
Mm-hmm.
Weren't
well,
they
when I came along, I had a television, so I had a TV, a black and white TV when I came along.
They were living on East Dakota Avenue?
That was before they moved west of the tracks.
Okay. So people would come to, I guess, the front yard and sit around and listen to the radio.
Even in my time, the time that you're describing when they lived on Dakota, I didn't see that house. I didn't know what the house that was. During my lifetime, they were on First Street, and that's where they had the two houses with the cellar between them.
During the Depression, neighbors would just help each other out, wouldn't they?
Stories that I was told, that was true.
They'd share gardens and people shared. So was Chickasha a good town for your mother to be growing up in?
The description she gave of me was, again, they were mostly insulated from racist environment and those kind of things. And she describes a very happy childhood and growing up. during that time, she learned a couple of lessons that she talked about all the rest of her life. One of those being the story about the gingerbread man.
And what's that?
Well, lessons that she would talk about and tell me about my grandmother included one occasion. My mother, she loved gingerbread. And so my grandmother agreed in the hot summertime to make her some gingerbread. So she fried up the wood stove and made her some gingerbread. Gave a piece to her and some buttermilk and a piece to my uncle, Lemuel, and he had some buttermilk. My mother always admired her brother. She said Lemuel was by far smarter than she was all his life, and he was athletic. She thought she had the best big brother in the world. But he could be kind of a comedian also, and he told her, he said, Lois, I can show you how you can have as much gingerbread as you want. She said, how? And he said, bury it. So Mom dug a hole and planted the gingerbread in the hole, and he said, now pour your buttermilk over that, and you'll get a gingerbread tree. She did that, and then he started laughing after he did that, and my grandmother was watching this whole thing unfold. And she said, Lois, you and Lemuel, come here. She said, Lemuel, that was a dirty trick you pulled on your sister, and I'm going to spank you for that. She said, Lois, I'm going to spank you too for being such a fool. Mom says that she learned a lesson from that. Never be dishonest and don't be simple. But my mom loved her brother, and that became real important later on when the issue of the law school came up.
You said that she said Lois. Did they call her Lois as a child, and it wasn't Ada?
No, they didn't call her Ada.
So she grew up being Lois.
Well, the reason I say that is because that's what I heard. I mean, that's what my dad called her. And again, they were childhood sweethearts. I mean, so that's what everybody around her who knew her well called her. They didn't call her Ada, they called her Lois.
Okay.
Now, those who knew her well called her Sip, S-I-P. Now, you had to be really a friend of the family to get that, because that was my grandfather's nickname, Sip. He didn't like it if you called him that, but that was the name that he was referred to by his close friend, Sip. And Mom was Sip also because of Sip's name.
You had to be Thurgood Marshall to call her Sip.
I don't like that.